All right. Welcome in to Toilets, Two Titles, episode number 73. We are here again, coming at you live Sunday night, August 8th, for our weekly news roundtable that we've been doing since training camps have started, because things are getting real, things are happening, there's lots of news. And on top of the fantasy content we're putting out there, we need to break down this news to keep you guys ready for the upcoming NFL season. We know that everybody can't be on the Twitter, can't be watching ESPN NFL 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's not possible, all right? But we are here. We gather the news throughout the week, and then we're here to break it down for you. So with me this evening, to my side here, Joe Knows at @JoeJ_Clark on the Twitter. Joe, what's cooking, my guy?
Oh, you know, taking it easy. It's Sunday night. We love relaxing on Sunday nights in the summer. Doing this without my sunglasses. When we've got three people on, I feel like it's okay. I can, you don't see my bags as much. The bags are my eyes. So when it's just me doing Joe Knows, I got to rock the shades for my bags. I've seen them before. I'm like, oh my god,
man, you got too much swag to be worrying about the bag. All right, like, it's not about the bags. It's about the swag.
It is. I liked it, too, after doing the Miami episode. I'm like, you know what? I think this can work.
All right, man. I think it can work, too. But it's Sunday night. You're taking it easy. It's not easy like Sunday morning. It's easy like Sunday evening. But we're here. No glasses. With me down below is Alex at @AlexHo_FF. Alex, what is cooking?
Nothing much. Like you said, relaxing Sunday. I didn't really do too much. Hung out at a buddy's house that they're renovating up by the river. Just kind of hung out in the sun. It was a good time.
Ready to talk some football. Does your buddy live in a van down by the river?
No. Just a house down by the river.
Okay. Very cool. All right, good. Well, you could find me on the Twitter as well, @CoachSheps. You could find the show @ToiletsToTitles. And we have a website right now. Brand new. It's been up there for about a few weeks, toiletstotitles.com. I suggest you check that out. We got lots of articles on there. We got a link to our rankings, which are also over at fusionffb.com. All of our podcast stuff is on there. So if you don't know how to find our YouTube link, even though it's on our Twitter, on our social media, you could go to toiletstotitles.com and find it. All right. So that's a way you can do it now. I suggest you go do this. Sounds like there's a little bit of an echo. I'm not sure if somebody's doing some feedback there, but just in case you are, there's a little bit of an echo. I think it's gone. All right. Other ways you can listen to us. It's Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean. We're on Facebook. We got the Toilets to Titles page on there. We got When a Family Breaks. We're on Spotify. We would really appreciate it if you could go to our YouTube page, hit the like button on any episodes you see come up, hit the subscribe button, hit the little bell. It alerts you every time we go live. I think we're at like 293 subscribers. So it'd be excellent if we could get 7 here soon, because if we could hit 300, that would make me feel great. So thank you. If we're helping you out, that's a way you could help us out. Another way you can help us out, if you're one of those people who got Apple phones, Apple products, go to Apple Podcasts, look up Toilets to Titles, throw us a 5-star review, and write something cool in there. That would make us feel good. And again, that would help us out. The final way you can help us out, we finally have a Patreon account, patreon.com/toiletstotitles. We got 3 tiers. First tier, $3 a month, gets you into our group chat, which is going to be on Discord. We are there 24/7. We don't sleep. We got guys all over the world. So someone from Toilets to Titles is always up. If you have a fantasy football question, you can hit us up. We got you. All right. And that's only $3 a month. $5 a month to get you early access to our in-season waiver wire episodes, get you into the chat, and next year it'll get you into Frankenstein. Tier 3 is $10 per month, get you one-on-one roster analysis from anybody on the Toilets to Titles team, anybody. So you just tell us, hey, here's my roster. I want Joe Knows to put the shades on, break this thing down.
That's what you want for when it comes to fantasy content.
Maybe they just want the swag. They want Salt Bae to dribble a little salt on.
If it's $2, you might get me. If you're donating $5 or $10, you'll get someone who really knows what they're doing.
Yeah. All right. So that's the analysis you need. Joe, that self-analysis is the best kind of analysis. If you can analyze yourself like that, you're doing all right. But it gets you the analysis. It gets you free entry to Frankenstein next year. Gets you into the group chat and early access to our waiver wire episodes. So that gets us into the episode. All that stuff is done. Let's get into the news. Let's punch this thing out. It's the week of August 2nd through August 8th, all right? And the way we're going to start it off is it's kind of sad. Bobby Bowden, dead at 91. I felt like it was very important to mention this. Now I'm 34, and you know, coaches, I feel like coaches became cool, like became buzzworthy, you know, right around when social media got huge, like guys like Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, like you're really starting to hear coaches' names. Growing up, it was really like, you know, you heard about Parcells, you knew who Bear Bryant was, you know, there were coaches you knew about, but it wasn't really, coaches weren't like the focal point. But that being said, Bobby Bowden was. I remember being like 10 years old and knowing who the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles were. And that was a time college football was awesome. I hate to be like looking back on the glory days because I love the SEC and I love what they've done. I love the way they play football. I watch, you know, all the games. Like I don't even have like a – I have a favorite SEC team. You know, it's LSU. It used to be Florida. Joe, you know that. But LSU is kind of, you know, I've steered in that direction. But I just like watching their style of football. But I miss when we had teams like Florida State, Miami, USC, Texas. Like when all those teams were good, you know, it just felt a little more hearty. It's like almost like comparing it to right now, like we have a great pizza. You know what I mean? But when all those teams were good, it was like a Thanksgiving meal. Like you had something everywhere. You know, every channel you turned to, there was a great game on. Every conference had a great game on. So I don't know if that analogy was excellent, but that's how I felt. So, Joe, I know you had some stuff to say about Bobby Bowden, so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously a great coach. That's why we're talking about him. That's why it was big news that he passed away, unfortunately. And, you know, if you start getting weird, I'll let me know, and I'll go back. I'll go exit the stream, and I'll come back in with my headphones again. I'll try.
You're good.
But, okay, cool. But, yeah, Bobby Bowden, I mean, I'm older, so I was in my 20s. I'm 50 years old. I was in my 20s in the 90s. And, John, you touched on something really good before. Like, power and talent is so concentrated now in the NCAA and the SEC. You know, really, there's like, in my mind, there's only one team outside of the SEC that can compete with those teams, and that's usually Ohio State. You'll see like Notre Dame go against them. Notre Dame will be like 9-0, and people are like, oh, Notre Dame and Clemson and Notre Dame and Alabama, forget it. You know, it's lights out, and you know it. Back then in the 90s, and I will get to Bowden in a second. Back in the 90s, it was like talent was spread out more nationally around the country. You did have Texas, obviously. USC was another, I guess, USC actually might have been the early 2000s with
Reggie Bush, Lendale White, Ray Maluga.
But you had, I mean, it was more dispersed. But in the 90s, it was kind of like power was concentrated in those Florida teams. It seemed like it was always Florida State or Florida Gators. Or the U, the University of Miami. I used to love the players coming out of the U.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, those guys came in and like they were ready for the NFL. You know, I liked the U a lot. And but he was a great coach. He was like, besides, I think he might have been when he retired, I believe he was the winningest coach after Paterno. He was, you know, I know he was, and I was just reading up on him as well in prep for this show, and just apparently like the love that all of his players had for him and their families too. You know, other coaches were saying like, you knew that when Bobby Bowden was recruiting, if he was recruiting a player that you were like a top recruit that you're going for as well, it was game over because Bobby Bowden was getting him. You know, he was a really, you know, kind of like a fatherly figure to many of them. It's just very well, very, very well loved, very well respected. He had a good long life. You know, and obviously a great career, and everyone remembers him. So, you know, rest in peace, Bobby Bowden. But, you know, a lot of great memories for college football fans. And that's when I really started following college football, at least more than I used to when I was a teenager, was in the 90s. And that was, you know, kind of like during the Bowden era. And it was, you know, he'll be missed, but it was great college football that he provided.
For sure. Alex, any thoughts on Bobby Bowden?
No, I think you guys pretty much touched on all of it. I was pretty young. I'm 33, but I didn't follow college football as much, so I don't have as much experience with them. But I think you guys covered, you know, what I was reading up on.
I feel like, so I remember watching like one of my first college bowl games when I fell in love with the Gators was watching the Gators play Florida State in a national championship with Rydell Anthony, and I'm trying to think who the other Ike was. It Ike Hilliard? There was another wide receiver out there. The Gators.
Ike did come from Florida.
Yeah, so it might have been – I think those two were in the same wide receiver core. But you knew when you were playing the Seminoles, any team, like, they were going to play tough. Like, they didn't – under Bobby Bowden, there was no quit. Like, that they had some gritty teams. And when you combine grit with, like, top-tier talent, usually you have one or the other. You got top-tier talent or you have grit, because you need to be gritty to keep up with the top-tier talent when you don't have it. He coached teams. He turned top-tier talent into gritty athletes, you know, and it was very fun to watch, man. And I think the program, the movie The Program, was that based on the Florida State Seminoles, Joe? I always thought it was.
You know what, John? I'm glad you brought that up, because I've never seen it.
Oh, man, go watch The Program.
I'm going to do that. Yep.
Cain is able. Cain is able. That's the
night.
All right, Hall of Fame. All right, we got some Hall of Fame stuff. So rest in peace, Bobby Bowden. Big part of my childhood there. Florida State Seminoles, man. All right, Hall of Fame induction tonight. We got Alan Faneca, Tom Flores, Calvin Johnson, which is crazy. That makes me feel old. John Lynch, Peyton Manning, Drew Pearson, go Cowboys, Charles Woodson, George Young, Bill Nunn, and then I don't think there's anyone else. So, Joe, I know you wanted to touch on Bill Nunn. So why don't you give us a little bit of a history lesson here?
Yeah, I can't really give all that much, but just from what I know, just for most people, I might know more than many, because Bill Nunn hadn't, you know, been in the league for a long time. But he was actually the first black scout that was a full-time scout. He was hired by the Steelers in 67. And his main responsibility in the beginning was to scout historic black colleges for talent. And but he wound up being with the Steelers for a long time, and he was a very huge component for all the talent that was added that built up the Steelers to being what they were throughout the 1970s. So obviously he was a trailblazer, and, you know, I'm glad to see that he was inducted. I had actually known about, you know, I had heard of Bill Nunn before, but, you know, hadn't heard the name in so long, I actually forgot about it. You know, I was going through the list of Hall of Fame inductees earlier. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, Bill Nunn, that's really cool. And this is a heck of a class. I mean, I'll be honest, there's some classes where I'm just kind of like, eh, you know, like this guy, you know, really kind of belongs in the Hall of Fame. Me, myself, I always feel like whether it's Football Hall of Fame or Baseball Hall of Fame, I always feel like it's kind of like too easy. Like, there are people who get in, I'm just kind of like, eh, you know, like, I don't know about it, like too borderline. And but not these guys, man. Drew Pearson, John Lynch.
We missed Polamalu. Polamalu got in too, man.
In this class?
I believe so. Yeah, I saw his I saw his bust. Yeah, that's what they call it, right?
Yeah, the bust, the head.
The hair.
Yeah. And as a Giants fan, I'm glad that George Young was inducted as well. But yeah, look at that hair, man. Enjoy it. Well, I still got a young man. Enjoy it.
Man, I got the helmet. I could put the helmet on. Where is it?
Go for it. Go for it. Come on.
I got my helmet right here. I had the flow coming out of this puppy, just like play the same position as Troy Polamalu. Playing safety in high school in a time when Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu were both playing in the NFL, man. Like,
same division, man.
Man, but that was like, I learned so much from those guys.
Yeah, and wow. Charles Woodson played free safety and cornerback. This guy was, what, like an 18-year career? Like, you know, something like a total of, like, he was starter off the Raiders 7 years. I think the Packers 6 years. And he was on their Super Bowl winning team, like in 2010, I guess it was.
2011.
What was that?
2011.
You're right. It was the 2010 season, 2011 Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right. You're right. And then
Charles Woodson was to the Packers what Antrell Roll was to the Giants.
Yeah.
When Antrell Roll went to the Giants, was veteran leadership that fine-tuned that defense and brought them to that spot where they believed in themselves.
Yeah.
When Charles Woodson came over from the Raiders, he did that to the Packers, and he elevated them to Super Bowl level.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he made the defense, I'd say, at that time, because the Packers have never had a superior defense. But that year, the defense was good enough, and that's all they needed to be. That's really all they needed to be for a long time. And Woodson was a huge, you know, huge part of that. And the veteran leadership is just, besides the talent, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then it was cool that his last 2 years he was back with the Raiders, but it was like a 17, 18 year career, man.
And also, like, doing what he did in college,
they all belong, these guys.
Doing what he did in college, you never see guys produce like that in college, like Heisman discussions, and then come into the NFL and do it. It's usually, if you're a Heisman guy, you come into the NFL and it's really not for you. You know, like, look at Reggie Bush. You know, like there's tons of guys we can look at and be like, man, they kind of fizzled out. And Charles Woodson, he didn't. Like, he came to the NFL star.
And he just kept getting better and better and better. And like, that was one of the few times in the Packers history that I actually enjoyed watching the defense, because you knew Charles Woodson was going to be in on the play at some point, you know, and make a big play somewhere along the line, and you were just waiting for it. And when it would come, you'd just be like, yes, thank God. Yeah. Thank God, you know.
The closest thing to him right now is Tyrann Mathieu, 100%. Like, what Tyrann Mathieu did in college, I think, was overlooked. He should have won a Heisman himself. You know, that, like, he had that sophomore year he had. Absolutely phenomenal. That was electrifying. That dude is a stud. He's a star. He could play, because they aren't just safeties. There are safeties who can also play outside. They can play inside. They can rush off the edge. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, they're like once in a generation, or like once every, you know, 10, 15 years. You don't get them very often. Then Troy Polamalu, like, that guy, what a star. I love defensive football. I could talk defensive guys.
I'm with you, man. That's why we both love Micah Parsons.
Yes.
Earlier this year, we're talking, like, I love Micah Parsons. Uh-huh. I could talk defense all the time, too.
Man. Yeah. And Troy, with that play when he jumped over the line and, like, sacked the quarterback in the backfield, I think he did that, like, two or three times. Didn't he block a field goal like that, too? Didn't he, like, jump over the line, block a field goal, and then they made it illegal, I think.
I'm brain farting on the name. Who's the popular podcaster? He's got a daily morning show. Former kicker or punter for the Colts.
Nate loves him. I can't think of it. Pat McAfee.
What was it again?
Pat McAfee.
That's it. He had a great Troy story where he was like, he could see Troy was going to be blitzing in, like, clean, like a clean alley. And he was like, he said, I was like, I'm scared. You know, what? I was like, that's Troy. He's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, and I think Troy did come over and, like, you know, and block the kick, or just, you know, he blocked the punter of the kick. And so it was a funny story. When he tells it's funny. I would just YouTube it, look for that, and it's a funny story the way he tells it. He's good.
Man, what a time. What a time to be alive and watch defensive football, Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu in the same conference, like in the same division.
People
who don't have that right now are missing out.
Yeah, you don't have that real Hall of Fame safeties right now. I think the NFL is a little light in those type of excellent safeties, in my opinion. Like, you've got good ones, but there's no one off the top of my head that I'm thinking, oh, wow.
Honey Badger. I like the Honey Badger. But also Jeremy Chinn. I know he's only been around for a year. Keep an eye on him. Let's see how he develops down – Jeremy Chinn in Carolina.
Oh, yeah, Chinn.
Let's see how he develops. Carolina Chris really likes him.
Yeah.
So
pretty good safeties. I like Jeremy Chinn too. I love him.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but let's see.
I liked him, but I just, like, in terms of, like, the pure talent, like Ed Reed and Troy. I mean, you're talking like Lawrence Taylor, like that type of talent. So you're talking
about there's a video of Ed Reed going trying to block a punt. And he rushes, tries to block the punt, dives, goes past the punter, goes around the punter, then runs upfield and tackles the punt returner, like, all in one play. And that's just, like, you know, and this is when your best player is also your hardest worker, like, no one else can say anything. Like, all right, step up or get out. All right. But I think that's enough on Hall of Fame discussion. You know, I'm sure we could talk on some of these other guys. But if you have whoever your favorite player in the Hall of Fame is, you know, throw in the comments. Maybe we'll talk about him another time. Let's move on. Josh Allen. Josh Allen signs a new contract, 6 years, $280 million, $150 million guaranteed, most ever in a single contract. That has to be said, because the next guy who signs, the way contracts work, there's always contract controversy. The way the NFLPA works, the next guy up gets the most money. And then the next guy up gets the most money. The sooner people accept that, they'll stop being shocked when people get a lot of money, because guess what, they're not going to be the most paid for very long, because someone else is going to come and take that title. But anyway, Alex, what are your thoughts on Josh Allen getting paid?
I don't know if I would pay him that much. I mean, he's only had one good season. The other two were pretty mediocre. He came in, he rushed for a whole bunch, but, like, passing wise, this past one in 2020 with Stephon Diggs, it's kind of an outlier in his, you know, career so far. So I just don't know if it's what's going to stick around. And that's a lot of money and a lot of years to commit to a guy, you know, and off of one, you know, almost MVP season. I understand that he had, you know, a really good year, and he did look like he stepped up and, you know, became a better passer, but, you know, that stuff can come and go. I don't know if I would pay him that much, but good for him. Get the bag. Get it while you can.
Joe, what are your thoughts?
Okay, well, here are my first thoughts. Number one is that obviously the happiest person about this contract is Josh Allen. Number two are the rest of the quarterbacks whose contracts will be coming up over the next year, two, three, whenever. And number three, I think, is Mike Dirty Jobs, because he's a big Josh Allen fan too. But you know what? Hey, I get it. And Alex, I completely understand where you're coming from. But I saw the contract numbers. I didn't blink an eye, to be honest with you, because it is what it is. You know, it's not
right.
I'm not saying he's not deserving. Alex, like, your concerns, like the apprehension, completely makes sense. But me, myself, like, I do think, like, you know, he's a heck of a talent. You want to see more, you know, proving more, but he has progressed every single year. Obviously, last year, was it his third year? He made the big leap. They gave him, you know, the wide receiver talent, especially in Diggs. That was the big one. They gave him the true number one wide receiver. They were an awesome combination. And me, myself, you know, if I'm Buffalo Bills front office, their fans, I love the idea. I've got this guy locked up for, you know, at least six years. And $150 million of it's guaranteed. And you know what? He's not going to, in my opinion, he's not going to take some big step backward anyway. You know, you always want to keep improving that line, give him more receivers, you know, always let him keep getting better. And, but you know what? Next year, it'll be another contract. Someone's numbers will be bigger. You know,
I wouldn't be surprised if it's within the next 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. Daniel Jones is going to need a new contract.
Listen, it's the going rate. And I understand what you're saying, Alex, but, you know, having to reshuffle the deck and get a new quarterback resets your whole program, you know, like 2 or 3 years. So it's 3 of those years. If they didn't sign him, they'd be in QB purgatory for 3. You know? So it set them back about 3 years. So it's a risk, but it's also a risk given, you know, some of the information that they have.
No, and the Buffalo fans love Josh Allen. So I think that was, you know, the front office giving them, you know, we're putting our money where our mouth is and, you know, backing this kid up, and we're going to do everything we can for him. Cause they did, they got Stephon Diggs for him. They're working on that line.
Gabe Davis, baby.
Yep.
Gabe Davis is going to eat this year. Gabriel Davis.
Hey, you know what? He's such a perfect fit for, you know, for that franchise, for that city, that team. Really. It's like, you know, some players are just a really cool fit for a certain organization, and Josh Allen is a really cool fit for
coming player. From Wyoming, going to Buffalo, it does seem like it just kind of you know, it fits. It's
not Denver, then Buffalo, I think is just about as good.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I definitely think, you know, that is a fit there. And Shep Stradamus, if you go to toiletsandtitles.com, picks the Bills to win the Super Bowl this year. I'm not trying to give away too much, and he also predicts Josh Allen wins MVP. So if you want to hear some more Buffalo fans, go support toiletsandtitles.com, because Shep Stradamus got you. He's got Josh Allen winning MVP and the Bills winning the title. All right. Justin Jefferson, injury. It's a shoulder. It seems like it was a little scary. Landed on his shoulder in practice, got up, got out. Now they're saying it's a mild sprain. It's only like 2 to 3 weeks, I believe. So, Alex, fantasy-wise, what are your thoughts on Justin Jefferson?
You don't like shoulder injuries for wide receivers. That sprained AC joint that's when you're doing all your lifting, you know, reaching for the ball and that kind of, you know, those kind of motions, and body movements. So it's just something I want to watch though, because it doesn't sound too serious. So hopefully it's nothing, but, definitely something to monitor as camp goes on, and we'll see if, you know, any concerns over, you know, seems to be uncomfortable at the catch point, or, you know, maybe his hands are, you know, he's losing his hands just a little bit. Those are things that I would be listening for. But if I don't hear anything like that, I'll probably keep Justin Jefferson right where I have him.
Joe, you got any thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't be concerned about it at all right now. You know, I think it's a whole bunch of nothing for right now. You know, if 2 weeks from now, it's still a problem, you know, or a week from now, they decide to do like an MRI or something, then then be, you know, then be concerned. Right now, I wouldn't worry about it. You know, it's to me, he's like, you know, up there for, you know, top wide receiver ones, you know, when you're drafting. And guy came last year. It was, God, it was just like an OBJ season all over again. You know, when that rookie year, it was like, you know, OBJ missed like his first like four or five games, I think he had an injury. And I don't think he was injured last year, but, you know, it was when they actually started, like, you know, just throwing the ball to him or including him more, and the guy just took off and he put 1,400 yards up. I mean, that's no joke. So, I mean, I wouldn't worry about it. It doesn't sound like the Vikings are worried, so I wouldn't worry about it just yet.
All right. Hunter Henry appears to have a shoulder injury. He left training camp practice and did not return. This worries me a little bit just because I have invested highly in him in fantasy, and he just seems to always have a little something going on. And he went to a new place. He's in New England. And I was hoping that new scenery, new him, maybe he could finally put it together. And he's already got a little something. But now, if we're not panicking over Jefferson, if it's something similar, we can't necessarily panic. And hopefully Bill, I don't think is the type of guy to take it easy. Like, if you're hurt, you know, there's a difference between injured and being hurt. And if he says he's just hurt and he's not injured, you got to get out there and play. So we'll definitely see within the next few weeks. But what are you guys' thoughts? Alex, go ahead on Hunter Henry.
Well, I can be a little bit more concerned because he has a history. He does have a pretty extensive injury history. So, but I thought he was going to New England to be a blocker anyway, for the most part. Since they have Jonnu and Hunter Henry, I feel like Jonnu will be the one out running routes. You know, a little younger, a little more pep in his step. So I don't think it should be. I'm not concerned right now because I don't see his role being, you know, worse comes to worse, he's going to get relegated to blocking if he is just hurt, you know, and he's out there playing, and that means he's still on the field, so it's still a chance for you know, opportunity. So,
Joe, what are your thoughts?
I would say, yeah, I'd be concerned. This is like this is something I'd be concerned with. He's like, you know, he's got that Kenny Galladay action going where we'll get into Galladay too, because two guys with, you know, injury histories, and, you know, you switch teams, it doesn't mean your injury histories are going away. you're a magnet for injuries and it follows you wherever you go. Galladay is the same way. And I'd be concerned for, you know, listen, no, what I love about New England is that they use the tight end position heavily. They rely on it. And I love that because my favorite position on defense is probably safety. My favorite position on offense is probably tight end. I just love the versatility that's from a, like an all around really good player at both positions. You should be able to do multiple things, like many things. And that same thing with a tight end, a guy who can block and go out and find that, you know, that open space in zone defense, or, you know, run the seam, and Hunter Henry can do that, you know? And, they, in my opinion, they've got two true number one tight ends, and I'd love to see them. I think they're so reliant on their tight end game that, you know, same thing with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. You know, they yeah, after they had moved on from Randy Moss, that, you know, him being injured, and I'm just not surprised for it. It stinks because he's such a good player. I want to see him play, but that I'm concerned about. I am concerned with Hunter Henry. So,
all right,
buy some stock in Jonnu Smith, definitely. I'd buy some shares, I should say.
So. All right, no, we're not overly concerned with Jefferson because we haven't seen too many injuries from him. We're a little concerned about Hunter Henry. How concerned are we about the Bears' offensive line? Looks like it's a little banged up. We got a Fetty with a hip, Jenkins with a back, and also I guess we should keep an eye on that because it's going to affect David Montgomery and the quarterback situation there with Dalton and Fields. So how do you guys, Joe, how do you feel about the Bears' offensive line and how that's going to affect Dalton, Montgomery?
I don't wish injuries on anyone, but I do have a stake in this that my Giants have their first round pick next year. So anytime the Giants are winning and the Bears are losing, and again, I'm not a trash talker or anything, but this is strictly for my own personal value here and then my own investment, emotional investment, that, you know, if their O-line's injured and, you know, they don't have a running game and it makes it harder for their young quarterback, then I'm hoping to get a top five pick next year. But, yeah, listen, it's hard. You know, when you've got a young quarterback who they're going to want to, you know, I don't know if he's going to be starting the beginning of the year, but they're going to want to start him eventually. And you need that O-line to be healthy. Otherwise, you're looking at Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones territory here, where you're going to be running for your life. Luckily, he's got he's got some really good wide receivers fields for eventually when he does start. But you're looking at a scary situation with a rookie quarterback who could possibly be running for his life. So I'd be concerned. I wasn't aware about Tevin Jenkins, to be honest with you. So do you know if it sounded like something serious, Coach? I'm not sure yet.
I don't think the length of those injuries has been disclosed. Yeah. It seems like they're just being kept out of practice, but we'll see.
And this is something else I said a few weeks ago when I did a Sunday night show with you guys. And I said, there's no good news that comes out of this time of the year. And you had said, oh, look, there was a contract signing or something like that. That doesn't really count. But I'm telling you, this is a scary time of the year. I'm so excited because football's upon us. But it's like the news that comes out, like just no news is good news. No news is good news in my opinion.
Yeah, it sounds like Bears fans are nervous. I just looked up Tevin Jenkins. He's just been held out of practice. Yeah. People are just hoping he's going to be there for week one. Mm-hmm. Alex, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, when I'm the one who I added that to the doc just because I happened to notice it. And I was like, oh, that's because it said them two. And then there was I forget who else was out, but they had a couple concussions. So just things to monitor that the Bears offensive line is a little banged up right now, but it could be fine by the time we get around. But Afedi has also is known for some injuries and stuff. So you don't want to discount that one too much, but having your rookie tackle out, missing practice isn't great either. Cause you want that, cohesion with the line. Cause I did see that he was out they held him out of practice for like 4 days. So something, and it might be more than that. Cause I think that report was from the middle of the week. I couldn't find anything more recent before the show. So, but just something to watch, those things can really affect, if they're not opening holes for Montgomery, he might, if he doesn't have somewhere to run, he's got to, you want to give him some space and, some time before contact, and then he can slip around and move around on that second level and stuff. I've definitely been growing on him, because Coach talks
go,
about
go watch his Iowa State film. Go watch Montgomery's Iowa State film. He was making four or five guys miss in the backfield before he got to the next level. David Montgomery is used to terrible offensive lines. I'm telling you, he is. You ever see, that meme with I think they changed the meme depending on the player. Like, and I've seen it with LeBron James. It'll make him look old. It'll put a cigar in his mouth, put a headband around him. And he's like, he names a few names and he's like, and it doesn't matter. Lakers in four. Yeah. So, I can't, I wish I could describe the meme even more so, but I don't have the terms, but if you're there, if you're feeling what I'm saying, it's the same thing with Monty, Fetty out, Jenkins out. We don't know who our quarterback is. It doesn't matter. Monty's going to average 5 yards per carry. No matter. Okay. It's going to happen. He's safe. He is a smooth operator. He is slippery. He is elusive. He's going to get those yards, man.
I like Montgomery. I'm just not a fantasy guy when it comes to Montgomery.
I'm telling you, Alex, go watch Iowa State Monty.
If you're putting them like in a deep stable of running backs, like I love, I play in standard leagues myself. So, I always have like a deep stable of running backs.
He's an Eagle Scout, Joe. He's an Eagle Scout.
Good man.
He's a good man. All right, Monty for president.
And I try when it comes to fantasy, I make sure I draft only the finest people, the finest human beings.
Yeah, me too. Just like Bobby Bowden recruited, I'm sure.
He's good. He scares me at fantasy just because, he's I think he could give so much more if he were playing behind a better offensive line. And I don't like their head coach either.
They're saying he looks faster. They're saying he looks faster and more elusive than he did. He kind of reminds me a bit of Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, he has a good running style. And Le'Veon Bell, when he came out of Michigan State, was a heftier back. He wasn't as fast and elusive. By his second year in the NFL, that's when he dropped some weight and he got really quick. So I'm wondering if we're going to see that type of transformation. But do you remember Le'Veon at Michigan State? He was a thumper.
No, I didn't pay attention to him. Yeah. I wasn't familiar with him until he started really lighting things up with the Steelers. Right. And for me, it was like I always immediately, at that time, Pittsburgh still, Roethlisberger could still throw the ball. They had Antonio Brown. And if I could get my hands on Le'Veon Bell as my RB1, that was the one I was going for.
Over not for nothing. You know, Alex knows people bash the Packers for, you know, having Aaron Rodgers for all that time and not building, you know, a lot around him and not winning more than one championship. How come nobody bashes the Steelers for some of the rosters they had? You know, I think Ben has two, I think. But, you know, given that team they had with A.B., Le'Veon Bell, like they were just loaded top to bottom. They should have done so much more, I think, with those rosters. And they really let that slip through their fingers.
That's when the offensive line was – like the best in football for years.
The kid from Stanford, DeCastro, was it? So yeah, they were loaded up, man. Heath Miller, Joey Porter wasn't around, but they had another. They like revolve outside linebackers. They have a revolving door, you know.
Yeah, those are the prime years for Troy those teams were phenomenal. I think it was Roethlisberger. They won twice,
right?
And I think they went like Roethlisberger's second year in the NFL, 2005, the 2005 season, I believe. And with that Super Bowl, he really didn't do much. That was like all defense. And I don't remember his numbers, but they weren't impressive. It was a win against the Cardinals in a great Super Bowl. Like,
man, Joey Porter was in that game. He ran that interception back for a touchdown.
That's when he had like, and it was like, it looked like the Cardinals were going to win. They had a great drive, end of the game, Kurt Warner. And the second life of Kurt Warner and Pittsburgh came down the field like end of the game. And I think it was, you know, touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone. You couldn't even tell if it was actually reception at first. It was so close.
Was it Santonio Holmes?
And Santonio Holmes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's when Roethlisberger was really like, you know, in his zone, you know, but who do they lose to? Anyway, I forgot. But anyway, but yeah, so that team always had more talent to win, you know, to win more Super Bowls.
Oh, they build well. Their front office is solid. Defense.
Yeah, they were always well balanced. They always had receivers. You know, they always had a running game. Always. So they should have won more. And they always had the defense.
Right. All right, let's keep it in that division. Hollywood Brown has a hamstring injury, and it says in the quote, worse than what they told me it was going to be. So who's me in this situation?
I think Marquise Brown is the me.
He's saying that it's worse than the doctor said it was going to be.
Yeah, it's worse than what they originally thought. So just and I don't like hamstrings in camp. So he's moving. He's getting knocked down my board a little bit because he needs that speed and that, you know, that pop and that, you know, that speed off the ball or off the line. Right. And with a, you know, hung up hamstring, you know. And they got Sammy Watkins and Rashad Bateman, you know, in the offseason to try to bolster that receiving core. So he was kind of already moving down. So as it was. So,
yeah, I'm not going to give this too much time. I think it just bumps Rashad Bateman. It bumps Tylan Wallace, Sammy Watkins. So Bateman through the roof. Hollywood just continues to slip. You know, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, I think that Hollywood Brown was already. I think Bateman and Watkins were already going to be taking a lot of his load away anyway, and he needed it. I think what stinks is that, you know, with this injury, hopefully it doesn't linger too long, as I think Bateman and Watkins will make him more effective. Right. Like, he was never going to be a number one wide receiver, never, ever going to be. But he does have real value. I mean, this guy can take the top off of the defense.
It reminds me of Rhaegar in Philly, Jalen Rhaegar. Yeah. Like the Jalen Rhaegar Philadelphia situation is the same situation as Marquise Hollywood Brown. They're both guys who should be Robins, but they were drafted before the team had a Batman. Like, you know what I mean? Robin isn't going to start the Justice League. You need Batman first. Both the Ravens and the Eagles did it wrong. They did it backwards.
I agree with you. And like, you can't, you know, kind of like the Giants too. Listen, they were Giants last year where, you know, rightfully so, they were very happy with Darius Slayton's rookie year. He was fifth round pick, and he put up like 750 yards.
Yeah, I was buying all the Slayton last year.
No, and I like him, but I was worried last year too when they didn't add to the receiving corps, and which was crazy in my opinion. But they, you know, but they treated him kind of like as a wide receiver one, and that's like the expectations. I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And then, and of course, opposing defenses, rightfully so, were treating him as the wide receiver one because he really was the most talented wide receiver that they had in terms of a deep threat. And, you know, he clearly wasn't that, or he wasn't ready to be that, whatever it is. But, you know, that's like, but I think, you know, similar with Brown, like I think Rashad Bateman, I love Rashad Bateman. I thought it was such a great pick for the Ravens. and bringing Watkins over. You know, Watkins is obviously never going to live up to that billing, you know, being the number one receiver in that draft. But, you know, he's got real value too. He's as a number three receiver, you know, he's got some real value. And I think all this would have helped Hollywood out, but we'll see. And I agree with Alex, like hamstrings scare the living bejesus out of me. You
know? Well, let's move on to another hamstring. Kadarius Toney comes back. Mm-hmm. All right. And the day he comes back, Kenny Galladay leaves. Doctor expects 2 to 3 weeks, and that's with a hamstring. And I don't think this is his first time with a hamstring injury. I think he had some nagging hamstring issues with the Detroit Lions. So, Joe, this is right in your ballpark. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this is the big concern. Hey, I am happy they signed Galladay. I wanted them to sign Galladay. I remember when his name was coming up last year at the trade deadline, and the Giants' name was linked with that, with possibly trading for him, that is. And I'm like, I'm not trading for a Kenny Galladay. Like, I'm not – you know, if he's a free agent, which I didn't actually think he'd be, I was like, if he's a free agent, yeah, I'd pursue him. That's cool. And they, you know, free agent he became, and they pursued him. But this is definitely a concern that was like, if you knew Kenny Galladay, you had to be concerned with this. This guy is like, you know, injuries waiting to happen, whether it's hamstring, backs, his back, that is. You know, so it's definitely a concern. And listen, these things tend to linger. There have been plenty of instances every single year where, you know, hamstring injury and like, oh, it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks and winds up being a lot longer than that, you know? So, and with Kadarius Toney, I'm glad he's back. You know, I'm not expecting much from Toney this year, maybe some jet sweeps and maybe some other, you know, maybe learn the slot position in the NFL a little bit, but I want to give that guy some time to get some experience under his belt. You know, he only had really only one productive season in college. It was last year. And so I'd say as a Giants fan, I'm like, I'm giving that guy time. I don't want to rely on him too much. But Galladay, we have every right to have expectations with him. You got to get on the field, man. That's all I can say. As a Giants fan, I've run out of pity. And, you know, right now it's time to, you know, get to 9 wins. Just get to 9 wins for me and I'll be satisfied.
All right. What are your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah, my biggest concern is working on that chemistry with Daniel Jones, you know, new quarterback, new offensive system. You know, all that fun stuff. So it's, you know, it's concerning to me. I liked Galladay, you know, coming into this year, but a nagging hamstring, you know, missing time, building that chemistry, you know, learning the playbook, that's all knocks for me. And I'm starting to worry a little bit, you know, but if they, you know, give him the proper time off and he rehabs it properly, maybe he'll be fine. But I would, you know, hedge your bets a little bit because hamstrings this early are not good.
They're not good, but they are not good. Because if they're not good, that's a double. What is that called, Joe? Joe, you're
double negative.
Double negative. Alex knows that. Alex is the editor. You know that. You just double negative all over us, Alex.
I said not. Did I say not?
Yeah, you double negative us.
Oh, my bad.
You're trying to trick us.
No, don't. It's not a double negative.
Is it a reverse psychology? Good. Are you trying to trick me into not drafting Kenny Galladay, or are you trying to trick me into drafting Kenny Galladay? What are you doing to me?
Well, I mean, you should draft him at some point. I still think he's valuable, but, you know. But
I'm just thinking, are you messing with me for Frankenstein purposes?
Oh, no.
Like double negative, you're trying to send a subliminal message into the back of my mind to think that it's not good, so therefore it is good, so therefore I should draft him early, and you think he's not going to play, but he'll be on my bench, and it'll hurt me and not you.
Wow, look at that. I got in your head, and I wasn't even trying.
Man, or were you?
You and your mind games.
Yeah, right? Alex is messing. He's messing around too much. All right, AJ Green and Julio Jones, both with lower leg injuries this week in practice. To me, the AJ Green stuff is no news to me. AJ Green is old and washed. He's done. Julio Jones, it's interesting, but Julio Jones is a guy who's always had little leg injuries, but he's always managed to play through them. So I'm really not concerned about either of these again because I'm not going to have any AJ Green shares. And in the NFL, I don't expect him to be the two. I think Rondale Moore is going to be the two there. I think he's going to be very intriguing in that offense, and I think AJ Green's just going to be a chain mover. What are you guys' thoughts on those situations?
Yeah, I'm with you on AJ Green. He's a perennial injury. You know, he's always hurt. But Julio, you know, he didn't play through the injury last year. So I know it's his first time. He is a tough guy, but, you know, he's getting up there in age too. So it's definitely something to monitor because again, it's not like he's with the Falcons and he knows what Matt Ryan's going to do and what the offense is doing, you know, new place, you know, new team, new quarterback, all that. So it's something I'm keeping an eye on. I don't know how concerned I am yet. I'm still trying to let it play out a little bit longer, you know, see if he returns to practice in the next week or two, but definitely something I'm keeping an eye on.
Joe knows Dez Fitzpatrick because he knows the Titans draft class. So Joe, should we be buying Dez Fitzpatrick?
Well, yeah, eventually. I wouldn't be going first or second round. Okay. But, you know, listen, with Julio, I'd say, listen, this guy's been around forever. And, yeah, he's in a new offense. But I would, as long as he's healthy by the time the season starts, I wouldn't worry about Julio at all. AJ, I think AJ is nice. You know, he's washed, but I assume they're not expecting much from him. They're just expecting like veteran, you know, leadership in terms of not necessarily whether it's on the field or not, but just, you know, game smarts, experience, you know, because this is a young team. A lot of their superstars are young, not Hopkins. Hopkins has been around for a little while, but man, I'll tell you, you mentioned it before, John. That was another pick when that came down in the second round. Rondell Moore went going to the Cardinals. I was like, oh my God, that is such a perfect pairing.
Man, him and Kyler.
I'm so looking forward to see that. Not against my Giants, I don't want to see it, but that is going to be a phenomenal duo.
That division is tough. They're going to beat the hell out of each other.
49ers are going to come back this year too, I think. So, you know,
you know what you're getting from the Seahawks? Like the Seahawks, the Niners, the Rams, the Cardinals, they're going to beat the hell out of each other. What's that?
I don't know. I'm not high on the Seahawks. I'm
really but they
not.
Play tough, and they're going to play each other tough.
You've got a great quarterback. I was concerned by what I saw last year.
Right.
You know, and they had like three picks this year in the draft. I'm not sure what they've done in free agency, but listen.
I think Jordan Brooks will emerge. I think that linebacker they drafted from Texas Tech last year will emerge. I think Jamal Adams will be healthy. You know, I think they'll be tough. They're not going to be a Super Bowl team, but they'll be tough.
They're not pushovers. They never will be. You'll never be. That's a great coach and quarterback combination. Those combinations, you're never a pushover, ever.
Right.
So, but I'm just not – I don't know. They're not like at the top of my list of like teams that I'm expecting to compete for a Super Bowl. That's just me. Not yet, at least.
Right. And Brett's in here saying Seattle just hasn't tried hard enough to improve their roster.
Brett's
yeah.
Brent.
Brent, I'm sorry.
No, Brett.
It is Brett.
Yep. It's Brett. Yep.
I said Brett.
Yeah. I know. I was just saying Brett's my friend. That's all.
I thought you corrected me and said his name was not Brent. And I was going to say, I didn't say Brent. But Brett,
it's
I didn't.
Not Brent.
Yeah. Oh, don't do that. All right. Welcome, Brett.
Dolphins, man. He's got a lot to look forward to.
Yes. Yes, man. And you guys just re-signed Xavien Howard. There's news. We got a lot of defensive news. Xavien Howard re-signed, and Darius Leonard got a huge contract. So two defensive studs in the AFC get locked up. Any of you guys have thoughts on that? I'm pretty excited with Darius Leonard. We talked about the quarterback market earlier and how these guys just keep setting it. Fred Warner set the linebacker market. Boom, Darius Leonard reset it. That's just the way it goes. Alex, you have any thoughts on these defensive moves here?
Yeah, I love Darius Leonard. I've been in on him since his rookie year. He commands that defense. He's a leader, and a young leader. He looked like he had NFL experience his first year with that defense. You know, with
he's
the Colts,
an animal. He's an absolute animal.
And he's all over the field, sideline to sideline. He is in on every play. He is in on every tackle. He's a certified stud. I'm glad he got paid.
Yeah.
Was he defensive rookie of the year? Anyone remember? I don't feel like Googling. Just looking to see if you remember off the top of your heads. Was he defensive rookie of the year? You don't have to Google, Coach. It's all right. I was just curious if anyone remembered. I thought he might have been. But, yeah, he's been – since the day he stepped on the field in the NFL, he's been phenomenal, Alex. I agree. There's no arguing the point. He's been – you know, he's definitely the face of that defense.
Yes, he was. He was.
I'm not surprised. I think he was a second-round pick too. And, man, what a steal in the second round. Holy cow. But he's awesome. Great player to build your defense around. And he plays, you know, plays on a really cool organization. He plays on Justin's favorite team, the Colts. And it's a team I'd like to play for too. And, well, you know, it's a nice city, nice area, good fans, you know.
It takes us into our next bit of news. Carson Wentz, surgery out 5 to 12 weeks. So the Colts lock up Darius Leonard. But Wentz goes out and Quentin Nelson goes out with a similar injury to Wentz. So he's likely out 5 to 12 weeks. But Quentin Nelson is saying, bump that. I'm going to try to be back in three. Quentin Nelson thinks he's going to fight through this thing and be ready for week one, but I am not feeling good about that for my starting offensive guard who's an all-pro. Unless he's just a freak of nature and his body heals better than normal human beings, I don't want him rushing it back. Carson Wentz, Quentin Nelson, guys, what are your thoughts in that situation? Joe, I'll let you go first.
It would scare me. Listen, he's still young, Nelson, but it scares me because he's a bigger guy. It's not like this is a wide receiver you're talking about. And I guess maybe that doesn't even make any sense because wide receivers have to run a lot, obviously. But it scares me that, you know, I'm optimistic because he's young, Nelson, but it does worry me that you're talking about an offensive lineman. So you're talking to a guy who obviously has girth that, you know, he's got to deal with. We'll see, because they were talking about, I don't know, I'm not all that familiar with their entire offensive line situation in Indy, but I know there was talk about him possibly moving to left tackle this year. So, I mean, listen, him being just a guard is, you know, he's the best guard out there. He has been since the day he stepped on the NFL field. So no matter what, that's going to be a big blow. But when you're looking at possibly using him as a versatile piece, guard or left tackle, my gosh, left tackle, that's quite an assignment they were going to possibly give him. It's a huge blow. And Carson Wentz, you know, I was rooting for Carson Wentz because I do think he was screwed in Philadelphia, not intentionally, just a lot of bad decisions. The offensive line getting older and, you know, drafting wide receivers when, you know, too early that they shouldn't have taken. And, you know, he was hurt by all that. And I don't think you put up the numbers he put up in, what was it, 2017, and just all of a sudden collapse and become garbage. I don't buy that for a second. I remember how good he looked that year. And, you know, it stinks. You know, we'll you know, what are you going to do? It is what it is. I mean, but at least they won't have to give a first round pick up to Philadelphia, I guess, huh? Maybe that was just part of the plan.
That could be it, right? So Alex, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't expect Wentz back in the shorter timeline. I suspect he'll be, you know, they'll make sure he's back to 100% since they just traded for him, and they have that, you know, big hit on with his contract and stuff now. So they want to keep their new franchise quarterback, you know, as healthy as possible. But that's a risk that comes with Carson Wentz. He's had, you know, just nicks and bruises here and there, but it was enough to keep him out and out of the rotation. I'm from Eagles country, and I'll tell you, Joe, it wasn't him just imploding last year. It was a very steady decline since 2017. So I'm not too optimistic. So I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I get that. And I don't blame the Eagles necessarily for moving on either. You know, I don't, but I do, honestly, like as we're all, you know, John and I are, you know, we follow teams in the NFC East. Me, myself, I felt like you give that guy the weapons again, and especially the offensive line that he used to have that Philadelphia was known for. They were, for a long time, they were up there with Dallas with, like, the best offensive lines in the NFL, and that's when he was producing. And I just felt like if he got that again, that he could be that 2017 Carson Wentz, and I wanted him out of the division in case that ever happened. So, and I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is going to be junk. I say I'm actually glad they're giving him a chance, at least giving him the year and see how it goes.
Hopefully they do.
I thought it was a good move. I'm like, you know what? Hey, you got plenty of draft capital next year. I don't think you're not going to be competing for a Super Bowl this year anyway. If he works out, you can be going for defensive studs and wide receivers next year. If it doesn't work out, you can get a quarterback. But anyway. Mm-hmm.
Fantasy Futurist says he's a Wentz personal fan from his college days and hopes this is the comeback story in Indy he needs. I hope so as well. And again, Justin, my co-host, who's not here this evening, he's an Indy fan. I would love to see it. I would love to see it. I think Jonathan Taylor, it's another plug to my Shep Stradamus articles over at ToyotaTitles.com. I think he's going to – I think there's a chance – I have two guys. One of these two are going to lead the NFL in rushing yards this year. It's going to be Chubb or JT. I still think Jonathan Taylor gets it done. So I think he's going to rush them, keep them in, and their defense is going to keep them in until Wentz gets back, and hopefully Wentz can help them there. But I live in New York, which is close to New York Giant Jets area, clearly. But I go to school in South Jersey for my union. So it's right in the middle of Giants Jets territory and Philly territory. So 3 years ago in my first year, all the discussion was Darnold and Wentz, and Dak was on the back burner. Everyone was like, oh, Darnold's better than Wentz. No, Wentz is better than Darnold. And then, you know, Dak's not even close. And now I get to go to school and I don't even have to talk to him. I can just look them in the eyes and just see defeat because both teams don't have those quarterbacks anymore. And I'm pretty comfortable with Dak as long as his shoulders are right. Yes, exactly. All right, speaking of the Eagles, Devontae Smith sprained MCL out 2 to 3 weeks, which is kind of scary because everybody was nervous about how his body would hold up at the NFL. And here he is for a few weeks without equipment on, and he's already banged up. Alex, what are your thoughts on Devontae Smith?
I'm not too worried about it. As long as they let him heal up, he's young. He should be just fine. I think it was just him going hard and trying to show everyone why they took him, you know, 10th overall. Yeah, 10th overall. And I mean, you want to watch it and make sure that it's nothing more and that he's not missing more time after that, you know, 2 to 3 week window. But he seems to be, from all reports, you know, ready for the NFL and for the spotlights and everything else. So I would just monitor it and make sure he's on the right, you know, path to come back when he's supposed to.
Joe, what are your thoughts?
I'm not concerned either. I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't think this has anything to do with his size or anything. And me, myself, I'm a huge Devonta Smith fan. I loved him and Waddle. I love both of them. If the Giants, you know, if the Eagles hadn't traded up to get him, I would have been, I wanted the Giants to take him. But I think I totally believe in that guy. I think he's going to be an elite, in my opinion, he's eventually going to be an elite wide receiver, assuming he's got, you know, everything else, a quarterback, you know, an offensive line to protect the quarterback. I do think he's not just going to be a wide receiver one. I think he'll be an elite. I think he's that good. And I'm not too concerned about his size. It really doesn't bother me. This is just, it happens. It's the NFL, man. It's like, you don't even need contact. You can, Victor Cruz's career was basically ended by, you know, no one touching him. He microfracture surgery. I think it was in a game against Chicago or maybe Philadelphia where he was the end zone alone and Cleek just caught in the turf and tweaked the knee and lights out Irene, you know, for the career.
How about for Victor Cruz, man? It's better to burn out than to fade away, huh? That dude came here, he conquered, and then he dimmed. That, you know, he dominated. That dude was hella electrifying, like from his first kickoff return or punt return touchdown in preseason, and then it was just out.
That was his 2011 season was, to me, was actually more impressive than OBJ. He was an undrafted guy. And he was just every week, it was like you needed something from him. He gave it to you and more. Mm-hmm. And it would be like in like shocking fashion too. Like I remember one game against Seattle and, you know, it was like he was well covered actually. And like the cornerback, I guess, just kind of like deflected the ball. And he just happened to catch it and just
he was a wizard.
Another time with what was it like? I think it was against the Eagles as well. Like one guy behind him, another guy coming on an angle in front of him, like diagonally, and he just like does like a sidestep and they smash into each other and he runs to the end zone. It was just plays like that. It was for a Giants fan, it was like the best I'd ever seen for a wide receiver for my team.
It was tough to watch because he was so damn good as a Cowboys fan. He was he crushed us. But the Fantasy Futurist podcast was asking thoughts on Ehsan Huntley or Ellinger going back to the Wentz injury. I like Ehsan. Honestly, I have a few shares of him in Dynasty because I thought he'd be the guy after Rivers was gone. I don't think he's a star, but I think he's going to be serviceable. He played at Georgia for a few years, transferred to Washington, was drafted in the fourth round. You know, now do I think they have star power at the wide receiver? I think they'll be decent there. You know, I don't necessarily think that, you know, they're going to crush it through the year, but I do think he's going to be good enough. You know, I don't think it's a major step back. You know, I don't think he's taken very many snaps in the NFL, but, you know, this guy, before they got Wentz, he was the guy. He was next up. So he's got to be ready to step up. It probably was only a few months, you know, that he wasn't going to be the guy since they've gotten Wentz. And now it's back to where they started. Ehsan, it's your turn. So I think this is a guy who will probably throw for like 200 to 250 yards a game as long as he limits mistakes. All right. And as long as, you know, because the play action game is going to be there with Jonathan Taylor, as long as he limits mistakes, they should be all right. They should be able to move on because you got to think Houston's a freebie. Those games are freebies. Jaguars, I think, are going to be freebies. Only in their division, the only tough game is going to be Tennessee. So, Alex, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get his chance to prove himself. You know, I think it's his job to lose at this point. I have a decent amount of shares of Ellinger because he came out, because since they drafted another quarterback, I know he's, you know, was drafted in the seventh round or whatever, but he was pretty fun to watch. And he went to Texas. But yeah, I think it's Eason's job to lose. And as like you said, as long as he manages it and keeps those mistakes down between Jonathan Taylor and the defense, they should be able to skate through, you know, to cover at least half. I say they go, you know, 500 before Wentz comes back.
All right. I want to wrap this thing up. We're almost done here. I'm going to just touch on two more things so we can get out of here right about an hour. There's a chance Saquon Barkley doesn't play till week three. All right. The Giants haven't completely ruled him out for week one yet. So Joe, I want you to touch on that. And then we need to touch on Michael Thomas. Supposedly the Saints were trying to reach out to this guy throughout the offseason, and he didn't respond to them for 3 whole months. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if this dude's just a Looney Tune or if the Saints completely rubbed him the wrong way. You know what? Maybe he doesn't like the quarterback situation. Maybe he doesn't want to play with Jameis. Maybe he knows that Peyton's going to be playing Taysom Hill and he's over that bullshit like the rest of us are, because that's tiring. Okay. So maybe Thomas has a reason to be upset, but maybe he doesn't. I don't know what's going on through his head. Joe, first, I want to hear you touch on Barkley. Alex, you're going to touch on Michael Thomas, and then we're going to wrap this thing up.
Yeah, my thing with Barkley real quick is that Giants just do whatever you have to do to make sure that when he's getting back, he's 100%. And that's all I care about. You know, because I never expected him back week one. I know they've been saying, well, it's a possibility. Whatever. If he's back week one, 100% healthy, then I'm cool. That's awesome. If it's week three, week four, week five, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I don't want this guy coming back early, and I don't think they will, because I think they have every intention of re-signing to a second contract. And to them, they see him as a face of their franchise. They love this guy, and he is a good guy. Honestly, you have a daughter in her early 20s, and she comes home and says, "Daddy, I'm marrying Saquon Barkley." You're doing backflips down Broadway naked, happy that she's marrying, he's a great guy, and I know I'd be getting seat lifetime season Giants tickets.
So thank God you don't have a daughter, Joe.
I have so much to celebrate. Oh, he's a good guy, Saquon.
I get it, but no one in New York City, just, you know, if something like that happened, nobody needs to see that.
I'm a pretty good looking guy. I don't know.
Can you backflip though?
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time.
But Alex, Michael Thomas.
Good guy. And oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. But yeah. I just don't rush him. I'm not too concerned about it. You know, whenever he comes back, he comes back.
Yeah, Michael Thomas. You don't like to hear that he's not talking to the team. This seems to be like a wide receiver diva kind of situation, and I don't know how I feel about that. You know, he waited so long to get the surgery, and you wonder if maybe that's part of it. but I don't know what to do with Michael Thomas right now with this news coming out and then the surgery that he just had. I was on him all off season. I picked him up in a couple spots, but now I don't know what to do, because hopefully they resolve everything and he comes back and plays, or they get rid of him and maybe he can go play somewhere else. But I don't even know if I want the headache of it's turned into, you know, an almost, it's very reminiscent of Antonio Brown or even Galladay last year with his hip, and he just wasn't coming back. You know, he just kind of let that injury just keep pulling on and pulling on until he could get out of town. So yeah, I don't know what to do with all that.
What if the Chargers pick up the phone? Because I don't think that they would trade him within the NFC. What if the Chargers pick up the phone? Like, we got a young quarterback. We want to pair up Keenan Allen with Michael Thomas. Send him over. And they make the trade. They know Michael Thomas isn't happy. They don't have to give up too much. They take up his contract. Maybe they give him 2 seconds or whatever. What if Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen are with Justin Herbert? How are we feeling about that situation?
I like Mike Williams with Jameis Winston.
Mike Williams with Winston, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen with Justin Herbert. Boy, like, I'm buying all of Justin Herbert. Joe, you seem to be happy about that. What are your thoughts?
I'm shaking my head no and shaking my and nodding my head yes. Two reasons. One, yes, he needs to get out of there. If I'm the Saints, I'm trading him as soon as I can when he's healthy. I'm not trading him right now. I'm not trading him when the stock is low. He's got to be healthy, and then I will trade him immediately. I would never want someone who's behaving like that on my organization out. I don't care how good they are. If it were Saquon Barkley being like this and he was healthy, out. You're gone. You're gone. I'm not having someone like that on my team. So adios. You're not going to act like a professional. You're going to be stupid and not pick up the phone when we're calling you when we are your boss. And we gave you that big extension. You're out of here. But he's got to be healthy, and I'll trade him to wherever, you know, whoever's giving me the highest or, you know, amount of value or wherever he wants to go. I don't care. All I know is that when he's healthy, he's gone. I wouldn't put up with that nonsense. It's garbage. It's garbage.
Man, I'd love to see him over there with Justin Herbert. All right, guys, episode 73 is in the books. We crushed this thing. I want to let everybody know today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and to explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. Another website you need to check out, toiletsandtitles.com. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. In season, we're going to have at least 5 episodes a week. We're going to have Toilets and Titles on Tuesdays. I don't have the full outline yet, so I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We're going to have a show on Tuesday. We're going to have a show on Wednesday. We might have 2 shows on Wednesday. We're going to have a show on Friday. We're going to have a show on Sunday morning. It's going to be busy. It's going to be very busy. And everybody in here is going to have something going on. Go ahead, Joe.
It seems like you want to say Sunday mornings.
Yes.
Sunday mornings.
Along with Mike.
Yes. So we're going to be subscribed to the channel. We're going to have a lot going on. We are going to keep you guys set and going. All right. Ready to go from the toilet bowl to the championship and then some. Go past that. All right. What's next? More work. We get better. We improve. We win the ship. We win some money. So that's what we got going on. Subscribe. Go to YouTube. Hit the like button on all the episodes you like. Throw us a 5-star review. Stick with us. We'll be back next week for some more content. We'll be out in Canton, Ohio, some of us. All right? We'll be coming at you live from there. So some of us are actually going to be in the same room, which is going to be very interesting because we're all from different corners of the world. So we're going to be able to experience that, and you guys are going to be able to see us experience that. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Take care. Stay safe. Be good. Have a good week.
Take care, everyone.